Kind of going to look at a couple of different passages this morning. One from Genesis chapter 37, at least the story of Joseph anyway. Hey, Noah, would you go get me a bottle of water? I'm just parched, bud. I apologize for that. And then Proverbs chapter 16, we're gonna look at it in a little bit too. But I wanna focus your attention to just a kind of a subject matter that really isn't talked about a whole lot. We struggle to teach this in our society. You know, once upon a time, this was a big deal thing. It's this word called virtue. That we don't teach virtues like we should. And I started thinking, you know, the last time that I actually heard a message on virtues, and I don't know, maybe I'm kind of sheltered, but I really haven't heard a pastor really talk about it. You know what I hear a lot about in the songs and the other teachings? I hear a lot about love. I hear a lot about fear. I even hear, some salvation stuff occasionally. But virtue really isn't something that the teachers are keying in on these days. Let me give you a scripture just to reference. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. I'll let you look there just for a second. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Because we see something here in Genesis 37 that the Lord begins to work in Joseph, and it's in a way that you're like, I don't want God to work in me that way. God is working to prepare a Savior of a whole nation of Israel. And he had to go through some really tough things. But this is the idea that we're going to look at. And besides this, giving all diligence. Okay, so the Apostle Paul, Peter here, he is saying, this is what you need to be diligent. Yes, you're saved, but you need to add to your faith virtue. And if you went down the street and you asked somebody, well, what is, you know, if you asked them what virtue is, I would bet that they struggle to tell you what virtue is. You know, used to we would look at somebody and we could say, well, they're a virtuous person. What would that mean? You would get a different answer today than you would 20, 30 plus years ago. Do y'all agree with that? Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. This idea is something that is not talked about very much. It's not taught very well at all in at least the corner of the world that I'm listening to the gospel anyway. But we see it just really shown here in Genesis chapter 37, and I'm going to reference Proverbs to really talk about some ideas that accompany what virtue really is so that you can apply it to your life. So will you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you will just guide us by your Spirit, that we may be able to say the right words, think the right thoughts, that we may be able to know what virtue means to you. Not just what I decide that it means, because that means nothing. What matters is, how does God look at my life? Does He see me as a virtuous person, or does He see me as something else? Lord, would you help us to add to our faith this morning? Help us to apply these things to our life. Guide us in these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I really get going, I want you to look at a hold your place there in Genesis 37 and look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. Here the scripture says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That means, you know, sometimes things happen and it's God's doing. He allows things to happen in your life and my life. The lot is cast, but the Lord, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So we've got to think, God does not allow anything to happen in my life that would go against His will. Does that make sense? God is working things, good and the bad. Now in Genesis chapter 37, if you look there and just kind of follow along maybe while I tell you the story, but we see Jacob and his whole family. He's now called Israel, and he's got all of his sons there, and he's got one son named Joseph. Joseph is the son of his old age, and he loves his son Joseph. And by the way, Joseph's mother, Rachel, has died a long time ago. Joseph has come up in the house. He's a very intelligent young man, and Joseph makes him a coat of many colors. Now, when a coat of many colors was given to somebody, it meant that they were extra special. And it was obvious to the rest of the brothers that Jacob, that Israel, kind of cared more about this son than he might have the rest of them. It doesn't just say that automatically, but you can tell by what comes in the following in the story that it may be that way. Well, Joseph, he's growing, and the rest of them, they kind of despise Joseph. They don't like him because he seems to be favored. And Joseph has this dream. And in his dream, he has these stalks. They're out in the field, and they're gathering these stalks of wheat. And Joseph says, all of a sudden, my stalk stood up. And he's talking to his brothers, and he said, all of your stalks, they started bowing down to my stalk. And they look at him like, so what are you saying? That we're going to worship you? That we're going to fall down before you? That was his first dream. And he has another dream about the sun and the moon and 10 stars. And he tells that dream to his brothers and to his father. And Jacob, who looks at him and he says, are you saying that me and your mother and your brothers, they're all going to fall down before you? And the scripture says that the brothers hated him more for that dream. But Jacob, he considered this dream. He's like, I wonder what it means. You know, Jacob's had his own dreams before. And he's wondering, what is going on? Well, time goes on. The brothers go out to the fields, and they're tending to the sheep. And Jacob, Israel, sends Joseph, go check on your brothers. Just make sure that they're okay. So they're supposed to be at Shechem. So Joseph, he starts to head towards Shechem, and he finds out they're not there. They're somewhere else. So we ask around. He finds out that they went to Dothan, I think is the name of the place. Well, they see him coming. He's got on this coat of many colors. You can't miss Joseph coming. He's got that bright colors. So they start plotting. When he gets here, let's kill him. Let's take him out. Let's be done with him. And then let's see what's going to happen to all these dreams that he has. See if one day we fall down before him. If he's dead, how's that going to happen then? Well, Reuben, he's like, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in this pit, because there was a pit nearby that was dry. So Joseph gets there. He doesn't even begin to get to talk to him. They attack him. They strip off his coat of many colors, and they throw him in the pit. And Reuben was the one who wants to save the child's life. And he's hoping, I'll be able to come get him. When they'll forget about him. Well, while Reuben is away checking on the sheep, Judah has this bright idea. He sees some Ishmaelites coming. And he says, why don't we sell him? And then he'll be out of our hair. He'll be done. And he'll be gone. So Reuben's not there. Judah has this idea. The brother's like, yeah, that's a good idea. We can even make money off of this guy. And then he'll be gone. And we won't have to worry about his dreams anymore. So they sell their brother Joseph to the Ishmaelites. And their idea is to go back home and show Jacob a coat that's been torn and dipped in goat's blood. And immediately Jacob assumes, my son has been slaughtered by a wild beast. And everybody tried to comfort Jacob. See, they didn't think about this. How is your dad going to feel when you show him that coat? You think he's ever going to get over it? Jacob says, I'm never getting over this. I refuse to be comforted by anyone. Now, there's a lot of stories that you can harness from all that. A lot of messages. But today, let's talk about Joseph just for a second. Back in Proverbs chapter 16. Because you got to wonder, Joseph, he knows about God. He's been taught by Jacob. He's seen the miracles happen. And he's had the dreams. And he's thinking, God's going to use me to do some great things. And then one day, he finds himself in this pit, rejected by everyone that he thought cared about him. And they're thinking about killing me. And he says, God, what is going on? I had these dreams. Were those dreams lies? God, I thought you promised that you would be with me. How are you with me in this? Can you think Joseph is thinking like that? And then he gets sold. My brothers have sold me into slavery. Lord, what's going to become of the promises that I thought you had for me? I'm sure those are thoughts that Joseph was thinking. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, we're talking about virtues today. If you want virtue in your life, you need to realize that your heart may be telling you something. You may have dreams, but you need to seek God's will. You need to be obedient to what God is doing in your life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You might not like it, but God's doing something, and He's working to grow you. You know, one of the things that we don't see when we look in the mirror is all the chips that are on our shoulders. All those rough spots that God needs to sand down or chip away at. You ever seen a sculptor taking his chisel at a piece of rock? Or maybe a welder? You know, I've got my brother-in-law, he is an awesome welder. And he could take a stick of iron and make it look like a rose. It's unbelievable how talented he is with that. But you know, to get it to do that, he has to apply a lot of heat. And he's not gentle with that hammer. He's banging on it. It makes a lot of noise. The metal is so red, it looks like it's about to melt. And then he starts banging away at it. When he's banging away at it, sparks are flying everywhere. But when he's done, he'll have a rose. He'll have something that you're like, wow, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for the piece of metal, but for that, I pay you, you know, he could sell it for $500+, a piece of metal. Listen, God, you have your way. God has His ways. God's ways are not our ways. And a virtuous person realizes, you know, sometimes my plans don't work out. In fact, you shouldn't even make plans for your life. Yeah, because I'm a planner. If you make a plan, make sure it's flexible. You know, in the Air Force, we had this saying that flexibility was the key to air power. You know who says stuff like that? People that things go wrong all the time. And you have to go with what you've been given. You don't know where it's going to lead. But you know, every war that we've fought with the Air Force has been won. Listen, God is doing the same thing in your life. If you are flexible, that, yeah, this is the direction I want to go, but if God does something else, you're okay with it because you're flexible. Yeah, my heart may devise a way, but the Lord directs my steps. A virtuous person will allow God to do whatever he needs to do in their life to make sure that he's right with his Creator, even if it doesn't feel good. Look at verse 10. It says, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. You see, God should be your king. And when he says the whatever, you're okay with. You know, one of the most important things about whenever you read God's word is that if it contradicts what you believe, what you feel, God's word is not the problem. You have the problem. And you've got to correct what you believe, what you think, to God's standard. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about our political parties. You got to love it when you get into a political conversation. You know, what happens? What would happen if the preachers all across the United States said, we're going back to the Jesus standard, not a political standard? What would the next president of the United States look like if we went back to the Jesus standard in our churches? That's not political. That's righteousness. That's the way that you should think. That's the way that you should vote. You should want a virtuous person in the White House. That's who we should elect. What are we given to elect? That's not political. This is the Bible should direct our thoughts and our life and our mind. That's virtue. And you won't hear very many preachers talking about virtue this election season. I promise you. They're going to be talking about other things. We need to get back to a standard that lifts Jesus high. Jesus' standard, a divine sentence, comes at the lips of the king. Look at the next verse. Let's look at 11 and 12. It says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Do you know what happens when we transgress God's standard? God says, I'll give you Romans chapter 1. Read it there. See what happens. Those who have left virtue, but God says, I am drawing you back. I want to get you to back to a virtuous standard in your life. Let's look at some more of these. Because this means that whatever's going on in your life, it doesn't mean you've gotten a raw deal. That's immediately what you think about Joseph, right? God has sentenced you, Joseph. You've done something wrong. You need to be corrected. Maybe you were arrogant with your dreams. Maybe you thought you were better than your brothers. That's why you've ended up in this state, Joseph. But that's not the attitude that Joseph had, was it? Y'all know the rest of the story. I'm not going to go into it today. But you've got to realize that whatever it is that's going on in your life, good or maybe it's something bad. You know, it seems like Christians today, that there seems to be one bad thing after another bad thing after another bad thing, and you look at everybody's life. Listen, you haven't gotten a raw deal. If you would look, take that step back and you would see, what is God trying to do in my life? He's trying to turn us into Josephs. You'll find Joseph, yeah, he sold to Potiphar, but it won't be long. In 20 years, all the nations of the world are going to come before Joseph begging for food because he's going to have the answer. Listen, in 20 years, people are going to be coming looking for a Christian for answers because they're going to be so hard to find. God's doing something in you today. He's doing something in me. Are you going to be ready when they come to you looking for an answer? Because what I see, it's not going to hold up. It's falling apart everywhere we look. All of our institutions are failing. Where are they going to find the answer? They'll find the answer at the Jesus standard. Are you a virtuous person? Are you allowing Jesus Christ to really work in your life? Are you allowing Him to apply the heat and to use the hammer on your life to get you? Or do you think, God, this isn't fair? Listen, God is righteous, and He wants you to be righteous. God is holy. He wants you to be holy, and sometimes He has to work some hard things in us, not just for you. You think it's all about you. It's not never about you. It's always about someone else that you're going to come in contact with, and God wants you to be ready. And He's looking for those who are willing to allow Him to work in their life. Look at verse 13. He says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they that love Him speaketh right. You see, God wants you to have righteous lips. What kind of words come out of your mouth? Are they righteous words? If God had a tape recorder or a CD, an audio recording of things that you say throughout the week, would He say, you have righteous lips? Or would He say, there's something wrong with your lips? Maybe you're like Isaiah in chapter 6, when he finally gets a glimpse of the throne of God, when he sees the cherubim flying around, when he sees the golden lamps, when he sees the glow from Almighty, and he says, and he falls down before Him and he says, woe unto me, I am a man of unclean lips. Have you seen God's throne? Do you have righteous lips? Listen, God wants you to be virtuous. Virtuous people have righteous lips. There's not profane things coming out of those lips. What if you heard Jesus telling a dirty joke? What would you think? Whoa, there's something wrong with that. What if you heard Jesus talking about things that He shouldn't be talking about? Listen, that's not just for Jesus. That's for anybody who calls himself by the name of Christ, a Christian. God wants you to have righteous lips. Look at verse 14. It says, the wrath of the king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. Are you wise? Do you have wisdom? Do you understand what I'm even talking about today? You know, there's a bunch of places that I don't think would really understand what I'm talking about. They don't understand righteousness. They don't understand holiness. They're like, I thought God loved me for who I am. Why would He want me to be like what you're saying? Because God is not satisfied with you being you. He wants you to be like Him. He wants to work in you to be like Him. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Why else would it say He's given us a new mind, the mind of Christ? He's given you a new heart, one like Christ. Why does it say that He is trying to conform us into the image of His Christ if He doesn't want you to change what you look like? He wants you to change. Let me tell you, if you look around and you see somebody that's grown up sinful and they haven't changed, yet they say they've been born again, I would submit to you, if there's no change in their life, why do you think there's a change in their eternal destiny? The Scripture says that they should be changed. When Jesus comes back, He'll even say that they're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, that this body is not good enough for Almighty God. You need something different. Look at verse 15. It says, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and His favor as the cloud of a latter rain. When people look at you, do they have a sense of life and refreshment? Do they look at you and you being around? Do they like you being around? Or they're like, man, I can't handle them. Every time I get around them, they bring me down. Is that you? The scripture says that's not virtue. Look at verse 19. We're going to skip ahead a little bit. In verse 19, it says, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride goeth, in verse 18 it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, are you humble? Is there humility in your life? Humility is a virtue. But that's not what we see in our current society, is it? Do we see a lot of pride? We do. We sure do. A lot of pride. Scripture talks about that. But virtuous people are humble. Look at verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Listen. Do you trust in the Lord with all of your might? With all of your soul, with all of your being? Do you trust Him with your finances? Do you trust Him with your children? Trusting in the Lord is a virtue. You know, there's a lot of people, they say they trust in the Lord, but they really have some strong grasp on things in their life, don't they? They're not going to let go. Lord, I'll trust you, but not with this. Whatever it may be. And they're holding on to stuff. They just can't seem to trust. Really trust in the Lord. Look at verse 21. It says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Look at prudence is a virtue. You know, I've heard this word so rarely, I had to ask Webster what it actually meant. Do you know what it means to be prudent? It means to actually care about the future. You're prudent. That whatever it is that you do, you care about the end result of it. We live in a world that's not what people are thinking. That's not how they act anymore. They're not prudent. They couldn't give two rips about the future. You know, there's a few people here today that I think care about the future, or you wouldn't be here. You want to see the next generation be reached with the gospel. What do you have to do that? First off, you got to care. If you care, then you're willing, whatever. If somebody's got an idea, let's try it. If we can, let's do it. It means making phone calls. It means sending out text. It means going to houses. It's acts of showing care and thought for the future. Look at verse 22. It says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Understanding is a virtue. You know, I don't know how many people I've talked to, they just don't understand what's going on in this world, even in our country. I can sum it up for you. I understand what's going on. We are a nation turning from Almighty God, and He has given us over to what we deserve. What do we deserve? We don't deserve anything good. When we're killing babies, when we're taking the covenants of God and we're shredding them, when we're saying that anything goes, we do not deserve God's blessing. But God's hand of mercy is on the remnant that's still left. And their prayers, their commitment, their prudence is the only thing keeping this nation above water right now. When something happens to those guys, God's like, where's Rome? America joined them. Where's Greece? America joined them. Where's Babylon? America joined them. Where's the Medes and Persians? Every nation has gone through the same phases. When they lifted Almighty God up, God would bless them. When they would go fight against Him, they find themselves fighting against the Almighty. That's not who I am not going to fight against the Almighty. I am fighting with the Almighty. That may cost me my life one day, by the way. That's the way that's costing over there in China. It's costing those guys their life. Over in the Sudan, it's costing their life. Listen. Understanding is a virtue. Understanding that if I do take those type of grounds, that I will face rebuke. It may mean that we never see all these pews filled because I'm going to dig into the Word and I'm going to teach exactly what God says. I'm not going to beat around the bush too much. You already know. I'm not good at that. Because I do understand something. Me tickling your ears doesn't get you to heaven. Only the pure, sound doctrines of the Almighty will get you to eternal life and tell you the truth of God's Word. Understanding is a virtue. Here's another one. Verse 23. It says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Being teachable is a virtue. You know, I don't know how many people I've run across that you just can't seem to teach them about things. They only want to learn what they want to learn. They're just basically unteachable. I don't know if you've tried to do that. If you've been a school teacher, you would know what I'm talking about. Because there are some people that they just can't be taught. Why won't they learn? Being teachable is a virtue. What does that mean? That means when the Word of God comes into your life, that you can learn from it. What have you learned lately from God's Word? You know, we were going through the Sunday school class. I'm doing kind of a special thing for them, talking about end time characters. And we were talking about the seven lamps that's around the throne of God. And the Scripture tells us what those are. And as we're talking about it, I'm learning. I'm like, oh man, it reaches here and it does this. And we were just... We needed more time, didn't we, Brother Sean? We ran out of time. We were all learning together as we were talking about, because people, I've never heard anybody teach on it before, and we were just kind of going through it and learning together. Listen, being teachable is a virtue. The last one, verse 24. It says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasantness to the soul and the body. You know, I bet as we've been going through this lesson today that some of you are really enjoying this message. Because to you, you realize, man, I'm a born-again person. I can see where God has worked in my life. I can see where He's working, where He worked in Joseph's life. And I can say, you know what, God? If that's what you want to do to me, I'm ready. I'm willing. Those words are pleasant. God's Word is always pleasant. Even if it seems rough at first, it's pleasant. Because I know that that's a source that I can trust in. I know that those are the words of eternal life. You know that there were some people around Jesus one time, and He was telling them that unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you cannot enter into everlasting life. You can't be born again. And the scripture says that a bunch of them turned away from him when that happened. Because what was he really saying? He was saying that you, if you're going to be a believer, you are going to face similar things as what I am facing. Are you willing to do that? And they understood. And the scripture says that many walked away from him that day. And Jesus turned around to his disciples and he said, are you going to leave too? And Peter steps up in one of his profound moments and he says, Jesus, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's what we're interested in. We're interested in eternal life. And Jesus, you are telling us how to get there. You're teaching us how to get the bad things out of our life, how to become a virtuous person. And we're okay with that. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this, that God is going to put you through some things to make you a virtuous person because He loves you. And not just because He loves you, but because He loves the people that you're going to interact with. And He wants you to be ready at any time to give the gospel. He wants you to be able to share the message of good news. He wants to create righteous lips on you. He wants to give you wisdom and understanding. He wants to give you life and make you feel refreshed that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. He wants to make you humble. That doesn't mean weak. It means that you realize that you have no power or control over these things that's going on. It means that because you know you don't have control, you can trust in the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means that you're prudent. You really care about the future. You really care about the next generation. You really care about those people that are making bad decisions, and you want them to make good decisions. You really are teachable. And you're ready to learn all the time. In fact, you are learning all the time. And that's pleasant to you. Yeah, those are just a few virtues. And I hope that you could see how God really worked in Joseph's life. But even more than that, I want you to see how God is working in your life to make these things appear in you. Not just for you, but for those around you so that you could get them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Sean and the pianist, if you'd come. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank you that you've been so good to us. Even when we've had times that it was rough, we can look back and say, God, you were working. You made something better in my life because of that obstacle that I was able to overcome. And I'm just thankful for your Spirit to give me that strength to help me to overcome. And when I look back at my life, I can see how you've purged some things in my life that shouldn't have been there, and that you've made me better since then. Grow me, Lord, in grace, that I may do as Peter said, that I will be diligent to adding to my faith virtue. Help me, Lord, to understand this. Help me, Lord, to accept what you are doing in my life for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.